turpitude the fact that I am fucking my boss's boss's boss. At the moment, you're arguing with him. My voice is beginning to rise.
That's because he's such an ass.
Ass. Ass. She's calling me names. The only people who do that are Mia and Elliot. An ass? Yes, maybe I am, and suddenly I want to laugh. Anastasia called me an ass. Elliot would approve.
Yes.
She's trying to stay mad at me, but her mouth is lifting at the corners. An ass, I repeat, and I cannot help my smile.
Don't make me laugh when I'm mad at you,
she shouts, trying and failing to stay serious. I give her my best 1,000-watt smile, and she unleashes an uninhibited, spontaneous laugh that makes me feel 10 feet tall. Success.
Just because I have a stupid, damn grin on my face doesn't mean I'm not mad as hell at you,
she claims between giggles. Leaning forward, I nuzzle her hair and inhale deeply. Her scent and her proximity stir my libido. I want her. As ever, Miss Steele, you are unexpected. I gaze down, treasuring her flushed face and shining eyes. She's beautiful. So are you going to invite me in, or am I to be sent packing for exercising my democratic right as an American citizen, entrepreneur, and consumer to purchase whatever I damn well please?
Have you spoken to Dr. Flynn about this?
I laugh. Not yet. It will be a mindfuck when I do. Are you going to let me in or not, Anastasia? For a moment she looks undecided, making my heartbeat spike. But she bites her lip, then smiles and opens the door for me. I wave Taylor off and follow Anna upstairs, enjoying the fantastic view of her ass. The gentle sway of her hips as she climbs each step is beyond seductive. More so, I think, because she has no idea she's so alluring. Her innate sensuality stems from her innocence, her willingness to experiment, and her ability to trust. Damn. I hope I still have her trust. After all, I drove her away. I will have to work hard to rebuild it. I don't want to lose her again. Her apartment is neat and tidy, as I would expect, but it has an unused, uninhabited vibe about it. It reminds me of the gallery. It's all old brick and wood. The concrete kitchen island is a stark and novel design statement. I like it. Nice place, I remark with approval.
Kate's parents bought it for her.
Eamon Cavanaugh has indulged his daughter. It's a stylish place. He's chosen well. I hope Catherine appreciates it. I turn and stare at Anna as she stands by the island. I wonder how she feels living with such a well-off friend. I'm sure she pays her way, but it must be tough to play second fiddle to Catherine Cavanaugh. Maybe she likes it, or maybe she finds it a struggle. She certainly doesn't squander her money on clothes, but I've remedied that. I have a closet full for her at Escala. I wonder what she'll think about that. She'll likely give me a hard time. Don't think about that now, Gray. Anna's studying me, her eyes dark. She licks her bottom lip, and my body lights up like a firework.
Would you like a drink?
She asks. No, thank you, Anastasia. I want you. She clasps her hands together, seemingly at a loss and looking a little apprehensive. Do I still make her nervous? This woman can bring me to my knees, and she's the one who's nervous. What would you like to do, Anastasia? I ask, and move closer to her, my eyes not leaving hers. I know what I want to do. And we can do it here, or in your bedroom, or your bathroom. I don't care. I just want you. Now. Her lips part as her breath hitches and her breathing quickens. Oh, that sound is beguiling. You want me too, baby. I know it. I feel it. She backs up against the kitchen island with nowhere else to go.
I'm still mad at you,
she asserts. but her voice is tremulous and soft. She doesn't sound mad at all. Wanton, maybe, but not mad. I know. I agree, and give her a wolfish grin. Her eyes widen. Oh, baby, would you like something to eat? She whispers. I nod slowly. Yes, you. Standing over her, staring into eyes that are dark with desire, I feel the heat from her body. It's searing me. I want to be wrapped in it, bathed in it. I want to make her scream and moan and call out my name. I want to reclaim her and wipe the memory of our breakup from her mind. I want to make her mine. Again. But first things first. Have you eaten today? I need to know.
I had a sandwich at lunch.
That will do. You need to eat, I chide her.
I'm really not hungry right now for food.
What are you hungry for, Miss Steele? I lower my face so that our lips are almost touching.
I think you know, Mr. Gray.
She's not wrong. I stifle my groan, and it takes all my self-control not to grab her and toss her onto the concrete counter. But I was serious when I said she'd have to beg. She has to tell me what she wants. She has to vocalize her feelings, her needs, and desires. I want to learn what makes her happy. I lean down as if to kiss her, fooling her, and whisper in her ear instead. Do you want me to kiss you, Anastasia? She inhales sharply.
Yes.
Where?
Everywhere.
You're going to have to be a bit more specific than that. I told you I'm not going to touch you until you beg me and tell me what to do.
Please.
She pleads. Oh, no, baby. I'm not going to make this easy on you. Please what?
Touch me.
Where, baby? She reaches for me. No. The darkness erupts inside me and grips my throat with its claws. Instinctively, I step back, my heart pounding as fear courses through my body. Don't touch me. Don't touch me. Fuck. No, no, I mutter. This is why I have rules.
What?
She's confused. No. I shake my head. She knows this. I told her yesterday. I have to make her understand she can't touch me.
Not at all?
She steps toward me, and I don't know what she intends. The darkness stabs at my insides. So I take another step back and hold up my hands to ward her off. With a smile, I beseech her. Look, Anna, but I can't find the right words. Please, don't touch me. I can't handle it. Damn, it's frustrating.
Sometimes you don't mind,
she protests.
Perhaps I should find a marker pen and we could map out the no-go areas?
Well, that's an approach that I've not considered before. That's not a bad idea. Where's your bedroom? I need to move her on from this subject. She nods to the left. Have you been taking your pill? Her face falls.
No.
What? After all the trouble we went to get her on the fucking pill, I can't believe she just stopped taking it. I see. This is a disaster. What the hell am I going to do with her? Damn it, I need condoms. Come, let's have something to eat, I say, thinking that we can go out and I can replenish my supply.
I thought we were going to bed. I want to go to bed with you.
She sounds sullen. I know, baby. But with us, it's two steps forward and one step back. This evening is not going as planned. Maybe it was too much to hope. How can she be with a fucked up asshole who can't bear to be touched? And how can I be with someone who forgets to take their damned pill? I hate condoms. Christ. Maybe we are incompatible. Enough of the negative thinking, Gray. Enough. She looks crestfallen, and part of me is suddenly absurdly pleased that she does. At least she wants me. I bound forward and grab her wrists, pinning her hands behind her and pulling her into my arms. Her slender body against the length of mine feels good, but she's slim. Too slim. You need to eat, and so do I. And you've completely thrown me by trying to touch me. I need to recover my composure, baby. Besides, anticipation is the key to seduction, and right now I'm really into delayed gratification. Especially with no contraception. She looks a little skeptical. Yes, I know. I just made that up.
I'm seduced, and I want my gratification. Now. I'll beg. Please.
She whimpers. She is Eve herself. Temptation incarnate. I tighten my hold, and there's definitely less of her. It's disconcerting, more so because I know I'm to blame. Eat. You're too slender. I kiss her forehead and release her, wondering where we can dine.
I'm still mad that you bought SIP, and now I'm mad at you because you're making me wait.
She purses her lips. You are one angry little madam, aren't you? I state, knowing she won't understand the compliment. You'll feel better after a good meal.
I know what I'll feel better after.
Anastasia Steele. I'm shocked. I feign outrage and hold my palm against my heart.
Stop teasing me. You don't fight fair.
All of a sudden, her stance changes.
I could cook something, she says. Except we'll have to go shopping.
Shopping?
For groceries.
You have no food here? For heaven's sake, no wonder she hasn't eaten. Let's go shopping, then. I stride to the door of her apartment and open it wide, gesturing for her to exit. This could work in my favor. I just need to find a pharmacy or a convenience store.
Okay, okay,
she says, and scurries out the door. As we walk down the street hand in hand, I wonder at how, in her presence, I can run through an entire spectrum of emotion. From angry, to carnal, to fearful, to playful. Before Anna, I was calm and stable, but boy was my life monotonous. That changed the moment she fell into my office. Being with her is like being inside a storm, my feelings colliding and crashing together, then surging and ebbing away. I hardly know which way is up. Anna's never dull. I just hope what's left of my heart can cope. We walk 2 blocks to Ernie's supermarket. It's small and packed with too many people, mostly singles, I think, judging from the contents of their shopping baskets. And here am I, single no more. I like that idea. I follow in Anna's wake, holding a wire basket and enjoying the view of her ass, all tight and taut in her jeans. I especially like it when she leans over the vegetable counter and picks up some onions. The fabric stretches across her behind, and her blouse rides up, revealing a sliver of pale, flawless skin. Oh, what I'd like to do to that ass. Anna is looking at me, perplexed, and asking me questions about when I was last in a supermarket. I have no idea. She wants to cook stir-fry because it's quick. Quick, huh? I smirk and follow her through the store, enjoying how adept she is at choosing her ingredients. A squeeze of a tomato here, the sniff of a pepper there. As we walk to the checkout, she asks me about my staff and how long they've been with me. Why does she want to know? Taylor, 4 years, I think. Mrs. Jones, about the same. I ask her a question of my own. Why didn't you have any food in the apartment? Her expression clouds.
You know why.
It was you who left me, I remind her. If you'd stayed, we might have worked things out and avoided all the misery.
I know,
she says, sounding contrite. I stand in line beside her. There's a woman in front of us trying to wrangle 2 small children, one of whom is whining incessantly. Jesus, how do people do this? We could have gone out to eat. There are enough restaurants around here. Do you have anything to drink? I ask, because after this real-life experience, I'm going to need alcohol. Beer, I think. I'll get some wine. I put as much distance as I can between me and the screaming boy, but after a brief look around the store, I realize there's no alcohol or condoms for sale here. Damn it. There's a good liquor store next door, Anastasia says when I return to the line, which doesn't seem to have moved and is still dominated by the wailing child. I'll see what they have. Relieved to be out of the hellhole that is Ernie's, I notice a small convenience store beside Liquor Locker. Inside, I find the only two remaining packs of condoms. Thank heavens. Two packs of two. Four fucks, if I'm lucky. I can't help my grin. That should be enough, even for the insatiable Miss Steele. I grab them both and pay the old guy behind the counter and leave. I'm lucky in the liquor store, too. It has an excellent selection of wine, and I find an above-average Pinot Grigio in the fridge. Anastasia is staggering out of the grocery store when I return. Here, let me carry that. I take both grocery bags and we walk back to her apartment. She tells me a little about what she's been doing during the week. She's obviously enjoying her new job. She doesn't mention my takeover of SIP, and I'm grateful. And for my part, I don't mention her asshole of a boss. You look very domestic, she says with ill-concealed amusement when we're back in her kitchen. She's laughing at me. Again. No one has ever accused me of that before. I place the bags on the kitchen island, and she sets to work unloading them. I grab the wine. The grocery store was enough reality for today. Now where would she keep a corkscrew?
This place is still so new. I think the opener is in that drawer there.
She points using her chin. I smile at her multitasking and locate the corkscrew. I'm pleased that she hasn't been drowning her sorrows during my absence. I've seen what happens when she gets drunk. When I turn to look at her, she's blushing. What are you thinking about? I ask, as I shrug out of my jacket and toss it on the couch. I make my way back to the waiting bottle of wine.
How little I know you.
You know me better than anyone. She can certainly read me like no one else. It's unsettling. I open the bottle, mimicking the cheesy flourish of the waiter in Portland.
I don't think that's true,
she responds, as she continues to unpack the bags. It is, Anastasia. I'm a very, very private person. It comes with the territory, doing what I do. What I did. I pour two glasses and hand one to her. Cheers. I raise my glass.
Cheers.
She takes a sip and then starts busying herself in the kitchen. She's in her element. I remember her telling me how she used to cook for her dad. Can I help you with that? I ask. She gives me a sideways, I've got this, look.
No, it's fine. Sit.
I'd like to help. She can't hide her surprise.
You can chop the vegetables.
It sounds like she's making a huge concession. Perhaps she's right to be wary. I know nothing about cooking. My mother, Mrs. Jones, and my submissives, some with more success than others, have all fulfilled that role. I don't cook. I tell her while examining the razor-sharp knife she hands me.
I imagine you don't need to.
She places a chopping board and some red peppers in front of me. What the hell am I supposed to do with these? They are such a weird shape.
You've never chopped a vegetable?
Anastasia asks in disbelief. No. She looks smug all of a sudden. Are you smirking at me?
It appears this is something that I can do and you can't. Let's face it, Christian, I think this is a first. Here, I'll show you.
She brushes past me, her arm touching mine, and my body springs to life. Christ. I step out of her way.
Like this.
She demonstrates, slicing into the red pepper and removing all the seeds and shit from the inside with one smooth twirl of her knife. Looks simple enough.
You shouldn't have any trouble with it.
Her tone is teasing, but ironic. Does she think I'm not capable of chopping a vegetable? With careful precision, I start to slice. Damn, these seeds get everywhere. It's more difficult than I thought. Anna made it look easy. She pushes past me, her thigh brushing against my leg as she collects the ingredients. It's deliberate, I'm sure, but I try to ignore the effect she's having on my libido, and I continue to slice with care. This blade is evil. She moves past me again, this time skimming her hip against me, then again, another touch, and all below my waist. My cock approves, big time. I know what you're doing, Anastasia.
I think it's called cooking,
she says with disingenuous sincerity. Oh, playful Anastasia. Is she finally realizing the power she has over me? Grabbing another knife, she joins me at the chopping board, peeling and slicing garlic, shallots, and French beans. She takes every opportunity to bump into me. She's not subtle. You're quite good at this, I concede, as I start on my second pepper.
Chopping?
She bats her eyelashes.
Years of practice,
she states, and brushes up against me with her behind. That's it. Enough. She takes the vegetables and places them beside the gently smoking wok. If you do that again, Anastasia, I'm going to take you on the kitchen floor.
You'll have to beg me first,
she counters. Is that a challenge?
Maybe.
Oh, Miss Steele, bring it on. I put down the knife and meander over to where she's standing, keeping her pinned with my gaze. Her lips part as I lean past her, an inch away, but I don't touch her. With a twist, I switch off the gas for the wok. I think we'll eat later. Because right now, I'm going to fuck your brains out. Put the chicken in the fridge. Swallowing hard, she picks up the bowl of diced chicken, rather clumsily places a plate over the top, and puts the whole thing in the fridge. I step up behind her silently so that when she turns, I'm right in front of her.
So, you're going to beg,
she whispers. No, Anastasia. I shake my head. No begging. I look down at her, lust and need thickening my blood. Fuck, I want to be buried in her. I watch as her pupils dilate and her cheeks flush with desire. She wants me. I want her. She bites her lip and I can bear it no more. Grabbing her hips, I pull her against my growing erection. Her hands are in my hair and she's pulling me down to her mouth. I push her against the fridge and kiss her hard. She tastes so good, so sweet. She moans into my mouth and it's like a wake-up call that makes me harder still. I move my hand into her hair, pulling her head back so I can angle my tongue deeper into her mouth. Her tongue wrestles with mine. Fuck. It's erotic, raw, intense. I pull back. What do you want, Anastasia?
You.
Where?
Bed.
Needing no further prompting, I scoop her into my arms and carry her into her bedroom. I want her naked and yearning beneath me. Putting her gently on the floor, I switch on her bedside light and draw her curtains. As I glance through the window to the street below, I realize this is indeed the room I stared at during my silent vigils from my stalker's hideout. She was here, alone, curled up in her bed. When I turn, she's watching me, wide-eyed, waiting, wanting. Now what? I ask. She flushes, and I stay absolutely still.
Make love to me,
she says after a beat. How? You have got to tell me, baby. She licks her lips, a nervous gesture, and lust surges through me. Shit. Focus, Gray.
Undress me,
she says. Yes. Hooking my index finger into the top of her blouse, careful not to touch her soft skin. I tug gently, forcing her to step toward me. Good girl. Her breasts rise and fall as her breathing accelerates. Her dark eyes are full of carnal promise, like mine. Deftly, I start to unbutton her blouse. She puts her hands on my arms to steady herself, I think, and glances at me. Yeah, that's fine, baby. Don't touch my chest. I undo the last button, slip the blouse off her shoulders, and let it fall to the floor. Making a conscious effort not to touch her beautiful breasts, I reach down to the waistband of her jeans. I undo the top button and pull down the zipper. I resist the urge to throw her onto the bed. This is going to be a waiting game. She needs to talk to me. Tell me what you want, Anastasia.
Kiss me from here to here.
She trails her finger from the base of her ear down her throat. My pleasure, Miss Steele. Smoothing her hair out of the way, I gather her soft tresses in my hand and pull her head gently to the side, exposing her slender neck. Leaning in, I nuzzle her ear, and she squirms as I trail soft kisses, following the path of her finger and back again. She makes a soft noise in the back of her throat. It's arousing. Boy, I want to lose myself in her, rediscover her.
My jeans and panties,
she rasps, breathy and flustered, and I grin against her throat. She's getting the idea. Talk to me, Anna. I kiss her throat one final time and kneel down in front of her, taking her by surprise. I push my thumbs into the waistband of her jeans and her panties and slowly pull them down. Sitting back on my knees, I admire her long legs and delectable ass as she steps out of her shoes and pants. Her eyes meet mine, and I await my command. What now, Anastasia?
Kiss me,
she answers, her voice barely audible. Where?
You know where.
I stifle my smile. She really can't say the word. Where? I coax. She blushes once more, but with a determined yet mortified expression, she points to the top of her thighs. Oh, with pleasure. I chuckle, enjoying her embarrassment. Slowly I let my fingers travel up her legs until my hands are at her hips, then I tug her forward onto my mouth. Fuck. I smell her arousal. I'm already uncomfortable in my jeans, but suddenly they're several sizes too small. I push my tongue through her pubic hair, wondering if I'll ever persuade her to get rid of this, but I find my goal and begin tasting her. Lord, she's sweet. So fucking sweet. She groans and fists her fingers in my hair, and I don't stop, swirling my tongue around and around, teasing and testing her.
Christian, please,
she begs. I stop. Please what, Anastasia?
Make love to me.
I am, I answer, and blow gently on her clitoris.
No, I want you inside me.
Are you sure?
Please.
No, I'm having too much fun. I continue the slow, lascivious torture of my exquisite, precious girl.
Christian, please.
She moans. I release her and stand, my mouth wet from her arousal, and stare down at her through hooded eyes. Well? I ask.
Well, what?
She pants. I'm still dressed. She seems at a loss, not understanding, and I hold my arms out in surrender. Take me. I'm yours. She reaches for my shirt. Shit, no. I step back. I forget myself. Oh, no. I protest. I mean my jeans, baby. She blinks as she realizes what I'm asking and suddenly drops to her knees. Whoa, Anna, what are you doing? Rather awkwardly, her usual fingers and thumbs, she undoes my waistband and fly and tugs my jeans down. Ah, My cock has some room. I step out of my pants and remove my socks while she stays kneeling in her submissive position on the floor. What is she trying to do to me? Once I've dropped my pants, she reaches up and grabs my erection and squeezes me tightly like I've shown her. Fuck. She pushes her hand back. Ah, almost too far. Almost painfully. I groan and tense and close my eyes. The sight of her on her knees and the feel of her hand around me is nearly too much. Suddenly her warm, wet mouth is around me. She sucks hard. Ah, Anna. Whoa, gently. As I cup her head, she pushes me deeper into her mouth, sheathing her teeth with her lips, pressing down on me. Fuck. I whisper in veneration, and I flex my hips so I'm deeper in her mouth. That feels so good. She does it over and over, and it's beyond arousing. She swirls her tongue around the end repeatedly, teasing me. She's all tit for tat today. I groan, reveling in the feel of her adept mouth and tongue. Christ, she's too good at this. She takes me deep into her mouth once more. Anna, that's enough. No more. I insist through clenched teeth. She is unraveling my control. I do not want to come now. I want to be inside her when I explode. But she ignores me and does it again and again. Fucking tease. Anna, you've made your point. I do not want to come in your mouth. I grunt. And still she disobeys me. Enough, woman. Grasping her shoulders, I drag her to her feet, lift her quickly, and toss her onto her bed. I reach for my jeans and fish out a condom from the back pocket and dispense with my shirt, dragging it over my head and leaving it beside my jeans. She's lying sprawled and wanton on the bed. Take your bra off. She sits up and hurriedly does as she's told, for once. Lie down. I want to look at you. She lies back on her sheets, eyes on me. Her hair is tousled and free, a luscious chestnut halo spilled across the pillow. Her body is flushed a delicate pink with arousal. Her nipples are hard, calling to me. Her long legs are parted. She's stunning. I rip the foil packet open and roll on the rubber. She watches my every move, still panting, waiting for me. You're a fine sight, Anastasia Steele. And you're mine, again. Crawling up the bed, I kiss her ankles, the insides of her knees, her thighs, her hip, her soft belly. My tongue swirls around her navel, and she rewards me with a loud moan. I lick the underside of one breast, then the other, and take her nipple in my mouth, teasing it, elongating it as it hardens between my lips. I tug hard, and she writhes brazenly beneath me, calling out, "Patience, baby." Releasing that nipple, I lavish my attention on its twin. Christian, please. Please what? I murmur between her breasts, enjoying her need. I want you inside me. Do you now? Please. She's all breathy and desperate, just how I like her. I push her legs apart with my knees. Oh, I want you too, baby. I hover over her, poised and ready. I want to savor this moment when I reclaim her beautiful body, reclaim my beautiful girl. Her dark, smoky eyes meet mine, and slowly, slowly I sink into her. Fuck. She feels so good. So tight, so right. She tilts her pelvis up to meet me, throws her head back, her chin in the air, and her mouth is open in soundless adulation. She grasps my upper arms and groans without restraint. What a wonderful sound it is. I place my hands around her head to hold her in place, ease out of her, then slide into her again. Her fingers find my hair, tugging and twisting, and I move slowly, feeling her tight, wet warmth around me as I relish every single fucking inch of her. Her eyes are dark, her mouth slack, as she pants beneath me. She looks gorgeous.
Faster, Christian, faster, please.
She pleads. Your wish is my command, baby. My mouth finds hers, claiming that, too, and I start to move, really move, pushing and pushing. She's so damned beautiful. I have missed this, missed everything about her. She feels like home. She is home. She's everything. And I lose myself, burying myself in her over and over again. She starts building around me, reaching her peak. Oh, baby, yes. Her legs tense. She's close. So am I. Come on, baby, give it to me. I whisper through my gritted teeth. She cries out as she detonates around me, clenching and drawing me deep inside her, and I come, pouring my life and soul into her. Anna, oh fuck, Anna. I collapse on her, pressing her into the mattress, and bury my face in her neck, inhaling her delicious, intoxicating Anna perfume. She's mine once more. Mine. No one will take her away from me, and I'll do everything in my power to keep her. Once I've caught my breath, I lean up and take her hands in mine as her eyes flutter open. They are the bluest of blue, clear and sated. She gives me a shy smile, and I trail the tip of my nose down the length of hers, trying to find the words to express my gratitude. In lieu of any suitable words, I offer her a swift kiss as I reluctantly ease out of her. I've missed this.
Me too,
she says. I grip her chin and kiss her once more. Thank you, thank you, thank you for giving me a second chance. Don't leave me again, I whisper. Ever. And I'm in the confessional disclosing a dark secret. My need for her.
Okay,
she answers with a tender smile that flips my heart into overdrive. With one simple word, she stitches my torn soul together. I'm elated. My fate is in your hands, Anna. It's been in your hands since I met you.
Thank you for the iPad,
she adds, interrupting my fanciful thoughts. It's the first gift I've given her that she's accepted with grace. You're most welcome, Anastasia.
What's your favorite song on there?
Now that would be telling, I tease her. I think it might be the Coldplay because it's the most apt. My stomach growls. I'm starving, and it's not a condition I tolerate well. Come cook me some food, wench. I'm famished. I sit up and pull her onto my lap.
Wench?
She repeats, giggling. Wench, food, now. Please. I order, like the caveman I am, while nuzzling her hair.
Since you ask so nicely, sire, I'll get right on it.
She wriggles in my lap as she gets up. Ow. When she climbs off the bed, she shifts her pillow. Beneath it is a rather sad, much deflated helicopter balloon. I pick it up and look at her, wondering where it's from.
That's my balloon,
she stresses. Oh yes, Andrea sent a balloon with flowers when Anna and Catherine moved into this apartment. What is it doing here? In your bed?
Yes, it's been keeping me company.
Lucky Charlie Tango. She returns my smile as she wraps a robe around her beautiful body.
My balloon,
she warns, before she sashays out of the bedroom. Proprietary, Miss Steele. Once she's left, I remove the condom, knot it, and toss it in the trash basket at Anna's bedside. I fall back onto the pillows, examining the balloon. She kept it and slept with it. Every time I stood outside her apartment pining for her, she was curled up in this bed and pining for me, holding this. She loves me. I'm suddenly awash with mixed, bewildered emotions and panic rising in my throat. How can this be? Because she doesn't know you, Gray. Shit. Don't dwell on the negative. Flynn's words fog my brain. Focus on the positive. Well, she's mine once more. I just have to keep her. Hopefully we'll have the whole weekend together to get to know each other again. Hell, I have the coping together ball tomorrow. I could skip it, but then my mother would never forgive me. I wonder if Anna will accompany me. She'll need a mask if she agrees. On the floor, I find my phone and text Taylor. I know he's seeing his daughter in the morning, but I hope he can source a mask. I'm going to need a mask for Anastasia for tomorrow's event. Do you think you can source something? Taylor. Yes, sir. I know just the place. Excellent. Taylor. What color? Silver or dark blue. And as I text, I have an idea, which may or may not work. Could you get me a lipstick, too? Taylor. Any particular color? No, I'll leave that to you. Anna can cook. The stir fry is delicious. I'm calmer now that I've had something to eat, and I can't remember being this casual or relaxed with her. We're both sitting on the floor listening to music from my iPod as we eat and sip chilled Pinot Grigio. What's more, it's gratifying to see her devour her food. She's as hungry as I am. This is good. I'm appreciating every forkful. She glows in response to my compliment and tucks a stray strand of unruly hair behind her ear. I usually do all the cooking. Kate isn't a great cook. She's cross-legged beside me, her legs on display. Her rather worn robe is a fetching shade of cream. When she leans forward, it hangs open and I glimpse the soft swell of her breast. Gray, behave. Did your mother teach you? I ask. Not really. She laughs. By the time I was interested in learning how to, my mom was living with husband number 3 in Mansfield, Texas. And Ray, well, he would have lived on toast and takeout if it weren't for me.
Why didn't you stay in Texas with your mom?
Her husband, Steve, and I.
She stops, and her face clouds with what I assume is an unpleasant memory. I regret asking her and want to change the subject, but she continues.
We didn't get along, and I missed Ray. Her marriage to Steve didn't last long. She came to her senses, I think. She never talks about him, she adds quietly.
So you stayed in Washington with your stepfather?
I lived very briefly in Texas, then went back to Ray.
Sounds like you looked after him.
I suppose, she says.
You're used to taking care of people. It should be the other way around. She turns to study my face.
What is it?
She asks, concerned. I want to take care of you. In every way. It's a simple statement, but it says everything for me. She's taken aback.
I've noticed, she says wryly. You just go about it in a strange way.
It's the only way I know how. I'm feeling my way in this relationship. It's new to me. I don't know the rules. And right now, all I want is to take care of Anna and give her the world.
I'm still mad at you for buying SIP.
I know, but you being mad, baby, wouldn't stop me.
What am I going to say to my work colleagues? To Jack?
She sounds exasperated, but an image of Hyde at the bar leaning over her, leering, crowding her, springs to mind. That fucker better watch himself, I grumble.
Christian, he's my boss.
Not if I have anything to do with it. She's scowling at me, and I don't want her mad. We're having such a chill time.
What do you do to chill out?
She asked me during the interview. Well, Anna, this is what I do. Eat chicken stir fry with you while we're sitting on the floor. She's still fretting, dwelling on her work situation, no doubt, and what she should tell them about GEH acquiring SIP. I offer a simple solution. Don't tell them.
Don't tell them what?
That I own it. The heads of agreement was signed yesterday. The news is embargoed for 4 weeks while the management at SIP makes some changes.
Oh.
She looks alarmed.
Will I be out of a job?
I sincerely doubt it. Not if you want to stay. Her eyes narrow.
If I leave and find another job, will you buy that company too?
You're not thinking of leaving, are you? Jesus, I'm about to spend a small fortune on acquiring this firm, and she's talking about leaving.
Possibly. I'm not sure you've given me a great deal of choice.
Yes, I will buy that company too. This could get expensive.
Don't you think you're being a tad overprotective?
There's a hint of sarcasm in her voice. Maybe. She's right. Yes, I am fully aware of how this looks. I concede.
Paging Dr. Flynn, she says,
rolling her eyes. And I want to reprimand her for that, but she stands and holds her hand out for my empty bowl.
Would you like dessert?
She says with an insincere smile. Now you're talking. I grin, ignoring her attitude. You can be dessert, baby.
Not me,
she says quickly, as if she can read my mind.
We have ice cream. Vanilla,
she adds, and smiles as if she's privy to some inside joke. Oh, Anna, this just gets better and better. Really? I think we could do something with that. This is going to be fun. I rise to my feet in anticipation of what's to come and who's to come. Her, me, both of us. Can I stay? I ask.
What do you mean?
The night?
I assumed that you would.
Good. Where's the ice cream?
In the oven.
Her smirk is back. Oh, Anastasia Steele, my palm is twitching. Sarcasm is the lowest form of wit, Miss Steele. I could still take you across my knee. She arches a brow.
Do you have those silver ball things?
I want to laugh. This is good news. It means she's amenable to the occasional spanking. But that's for another time. I pat down my shirt and jeans pockets as if in search for some Kegel balls. Funnily enough, I don't carry a spare set around with me. Not much call for them in the office. She gasps with faux outrage.
I'm very glad to hear it, Mr. Gray, and I thought you said that sarcasm was the lowest form of wit.
Well, Anastasia, my new motto is, if you can't beat 'em, join 'em. Her mouth drops open. And she's dumbfounded. Yes. Why is it so much fun to spar with her? I head toward the fridge, grinning like the fool that I am, open the freezer door and pull out a pint of vanilla ice cream. This will do just fine. I hold up the container. Ben and Jerry's and Anna. From the cutlery drawer, I grab a spoon. When I look up, Anna has a greedy look, and I don't know if it's for me or the ice cream. I hope it's for a combination of both. It's playtime, baby. I hope you're warm. I'm going to cool you down with this. Come. I hold out my hand, and I'm thrilled when she takes it. She wants to play, too. The light from her bedside lamp is insipid, and her room's a little dark. She might have preferred this ambiance at one time, but judging by her behavior earlier this evening, she seems less shy and more comfortable with her nudity. I place the ice cream on her bedside table and drag the duvet and pillows off the bed and onto the floor. You have a change of sheets, don't you? She nods, watching me from the threshold of her room. Charlie Tango lies crumpled on the bed.
Don't mess with my balloon,
she warns when I pick it up. I let it go and watch as it floats to the duvet on the floor. Wouldn't dream of it, baby, but I do want to mess with you and these sheets. We're going to get sticky, and so is her bedding. Now to the important question. Will she or won't she? I want to tie you up, I whisper. In the silence that stretches between us, I hear her soft gasp. Oh, that sound.
Okay.
She says, just your hands to the bed. I need you still.
Okay.
She repeats. I stalk toward her, our eyes locked. We'll use this. I grab the sash from her robe, tug gently, and her robe opens, revealing a naked Anna. A further tug and the sash is free. With a gentle push at the shoulders, her robe falls to the floor. She doesn't take her eyes off mine, and she doesn't make any attempt to cover herself. Well done, Anna. My knuckles graze her cheek. Her face is smooth like satin beneath my touch. I give her a quick peck on the lips. Lie on the bed face up. Showtime, baby. I sense Anna's anticipation as she does what she's told, lying down on the bed for me. Standing over her, I take a moment to admire her. My girl. My stunning girl. Long legs, narrow waist, perfect tits. Her flawless skin is radiant in the dusky light, and her eyes glint darkly with carnal longing as she waits. I'm a lucky guy. My body stiffens in agreement. I could look at you all day, Anastasia. The mattress dips as I crawl onto it and straddle her. Arms above your head, I demand. She complies immediately, and using the sash, I fasten her wrists together, then to the metal spindles of her headboard. There. What a mighty fine sight she is. I give her a quick and grateful peck on the lips and climb off the bed. Once I'm standing, I pull off my shirt and jeans and place a condom on the bedside table. Now, what to do? At the end of the bed once more, I grab her ankles and pull her down the mattress so that her arms are fully extended. The less she can move, the more intense the sensations will be. That's better, I mutter to myself. Grabbing the ice cream and spoon, I straddle her again. She bites her lip as I lift the lid and try to scoop out a spoonful. It's still quite hard. I contemplate smearing some of this on me and inserting myself into her mouth, but as I taste how cold it is, I fear it might have a negative shriveling effect on my body. That would be inconvenient. Delicious. I lick my lips for effect as it melts in my mouth. Amazing how good plain old vanilla can taste. I watch her and she grins at me, her expression luminous. Want some? She nods, a little uncertain, I think. I take another spoonful and offer her the contents so that she opens her mouth. I change my mind and pop it into my mouth. It's like taking candy from a baby. This is too good to share, I declare, teasing her. Hey, she starts. Why, Miss Steele, do you like your vanilla?
Yes,
she exclaims, and surprises me by trying to buck me off, but my weight is no match for her. I laugh. Getting feisty, are we? I wouldn't do that if I were you. She stills.
Ice cream,
she whines, pouting in frustration. Well, as you've pleased me so much today, Miss Steele. I scoop some more onto the spoon and present it to her. She regards me with amused uncertainty, but she parts her lips, and I acquiesce, tipping the vanilla into her mouth. My erection hardens as I imagine her lips around me. All in good time, Gray. Gently, I ease the spoon from her mouth and scoop up more ice cream. She takes the second spoonful greedily. It's a little runnier, as it's beginning to melt from the warmth of my hand around the tub. Slowly, I feed her another spoonful. Well, this is one way to ensure you eat. Force feed you. I could get used to this. She clamps her mouth shut when I offer her more, and there's a defiant gleam in her eye as she shakes her head. She's had enough. I tip the spoon, and oh so slowly the melted ice cream drips onto her throat, and as I move the spoon, the drips fall on her sternum. Her mouth opens. Oh, yes, baby. Bending down, I lick her clean with my tongue. Tastes even better off you, Miss Steele. She tries to flex her arms, pulling against her robe tie, but it holds, keeping her in place. The next spoonful I dribble artfully over her breasts and nipples, watching with fascination as each nipple hardens under the cold assault. With the back of the spoon, I spread the vanilla over each pebbled peak, and she squirms beneath me. Cold? I ask, and, not waiting for an answer, I gorge myself, licking and lapping wherever there are rivulets of ice cream, sucking at her breasts, elongating her nipples further. She closes her eyes and groans. Want some? I take a large mouthful, swallowing some, then kissing her, thrusting my tongue and ice cream into her waiting mouth. Ben and Jerry's and Anna. Exquisite. I sit up and scoop back so I'm straddling her thighs and dribble melted ice cream off the spoon from the bottom of her sternum and down the center of her abdomen. I leave a large dollop of vanilla in her navel. Her eyes spring open in heated surprise. Now, you've done this before, I warn. You're going to have to stay still or there will be ice cream all over the bed. I pop a large spoonful of vanilla into my mouth and return to her breasts, sucking each of her nipples in turn with my cool lips and tongue. I crawl down her body, following the melted ice cream, lapping it up. She writhes beneath me, her hips pulsing in a familiar rhythm. Oh, baby, if you kept still, you'd feel so much more. I devour what's left of the ice cream in her navel using my tongue. She's sticky, but not everywhere. Yet. I kneel between her thighs and trail another spoonful of ice cream down her belly and into her pubic hair, to my ultimate goal. I dribble the remaining vanilla onto her swollen clitoris. She cries out and tenses her legs. Hush now. Leaning down, I slowly lick and suck her clean.
Oh, please, Christian.
I know, baby, I know. I whisper against her sensitive skin, but continue my lascivious invasion. Her legs tense again. She's close. Abandoning the tub of vanilla so that it falls to the floor, I ease one finger inside her, then another, enjoying how wet, warm, and welcoming her body feels, and concentrate on her sweet, sweet spot, caressing her, feeling her, knowing that she's nearly there, her climax imminent. Just here, I murmur as my fingers slowly pump in and out of her. She lets out a strangled cry as her body convulses around my fingers. Yes. I withdraw my hand and reach over for the foil packet. And even though I hate these things, it takes only a second to put on. I hover over her while she's still in the throes of her orgasm and thrust into her. Oh, yes. I moan. She's heaven. My heaven. But she's sticky. All over. My skin is sticking to hers, and it's disconcerting. I withdraw and flip her onto her elbows and knees. This way, I mutter, and reach forward to undo the sash, freeing her hands. When she's free, I pull her up so she's sitting astride me, her back to my front. I palm her breasts and tug on her nipples as she groans and tilts her head back so that it's resting on my shoulder. I nuzzle her neck and begin flexing my hips, driving deeper inside her. She smells of apples and vanilla and Anna, my favorite fragrance. Do you know how much you mean to me? I whisper into her ear as her head is thrown back in ecstasy.
No,
she breathes. I gently wrap my fingers around her jaw and throat, stilling her. Yes, you do. I'm not going to let you go. Never. I love you. You are mine, Anastasia.
Yes, yours.
I take care of what's mine, I whisper, and my teeth graze her earlobe. She cries out. That's right, baby. I want to hear you. I want to take care of you. I curl my arm around her waist, holding her against me while I grasp her hip with my other hand, and I continue to thrust inside her. She rises and falls with me, crying out, moaning, groaning. Sweat beads on my back, on my forehead, and on my chest, so we're slipping and sliding against each other as she rides me. She fists her hands and stops moving, her legs braced around me, her eyes closed as she lets out a silent cry.
Come on, baby.
I growl through clenched teeth, and she comes, screaming a garbled version of my name. I let go, coming inside her and losing all sense of self. We sink onto the bed, and I wrap her in my arms as we lie in a sticky, sugary, panting mess together. I take a deep breath as her hair brushes against my lips. Will it always be this way? Mind-blowing. I close my eyes and enjoy this lucid, quiet moment of peace. After a while, she stirs.
What I feel for you frightens me,
she says, a little hoarse. Me too, baby. More than you know.
What if you leave me?
What? Why would I leave her? I've been lost without her. I'm not going anywhere. I don't think I could ever have my fill of you, Anastasia. She turns in my arms and studies me, her eyes dark and intense, and I have no idea what she's thinking. She leans up and kisses me, a soft, tender kiss. What the hell is she thinking? I tuck a wisp of hair behind her ear. I have to make her believe I'm here for the long haul, for as long as she'll have me. I've never felt the way I felt when you left, Anastasia. I would move heaven and earth to avoid feeling like that again. The nightmares, the guilt, the despair sucking me into the abyss, drowning me. Shit. Pull yourself together, Gray. No, I never want to feel like that again. She kisses me once more, a gentle, beseeching kiss, comforting me. Don't think about it, Gray. Think about something else. I remember my parents' summer ball. Will you come with me to my father's summer party tomorrow? It's an annual charity thing. I said I'd go. I hold my breath. This is a date, a real date.
Of course I'll come.
Anna's face lights up, but then falls. What?
Nothing.
Tell me, I insist.
I have nothing to wear.
Yes, you do. Don't be mad, but I still have all those clothes for you at home. I'm sure there are a couple of dresses in there.
Do you now?
She purses her lips. I couldn't get rid of them.
Why?
You know why, Anna. I caress her hair, willing her to understand. I wanted you back, and I kept them for you. She shakes her head, resigned.
You are, as ever, challenging, Mr. Gray.
I laugh because it's true and also because it's something I might say to her. Her expression lightens.
I'm gooey. I need a shower.
We both do.
Sadly, there's no room for two. You go, and I'll change this bedding.
Her bathroom is the size of my shower, and this has to be the smallest shower cubicle I've ever been in. I'm practically face-to-face with the showerhead. However, I discover the source of her fragrant hair, green apple shampoo. As the water trickles over me, I open the lid and, closing my eyes, take a long sniff. Anna, I may have to add this to Mrs. Jones's shopping list. When I open my eyes, Anna is staring at me, hands on hips. To my disappointment, she's wearing her robe. This shower is small, I complain.
I told you. Were you smelling my shampoo?
Maybe. I grin. She laughs and hands me a towel that is designed with the spines of classic books. Anna is ever the bibliophile. I wrap it around my waist and give her a swift kiss. Don't be long. That's not a request. Lying in her bed, waiting for her return, I look around her room. It doesn't feel lived in. Three walls are stark exposed brick, the fourth smooth concrete, but there's nothing on them. Anna's not had time to make this place home. She's been too miserable to unpack. And that's my fault. I close my eyes. I want her happy. Happy Anna. I smile. Saturday, June 11th, 2011. Anna is beside me, radiant, lovely, mine. She's dressed in a white satin robe. We're in Charlie Tango, chasing the dawn, chasing the dusk, chasing the dawn, the dusk. High above the clouds we fly, night a dark shroud arching over us. Anna's hair is burnished, Titian, bright from the setting sun. We have the world at our feet, and I want to give her the world. She's entranced. I do a wing over, and we're in my glider. See the world, Anna. I want to show you the world. She laughs, giggling, happy. Her braids pointing to the ground when she's upside down. Again she calls, and I oblige. We roll and roll and roll. But this time she starts screaming. She's staring at me in horror. Her face contorted, horrified, disgusted. At me. Me? No. No. She screams. I wake and my heart is pounding. Anna is tossing and turning beside me, making an eerie, unworldly sound that rouses every hair follicle on my body. In the glow of the ambient streetlight, I see she's still asleep. I sit up and shake her gently. Jesus, Anna! She wakes suddenly, gasping, eyes wild, terrified. Baby, are you okay? You are having a bad dream.
Oh.
She whispers, as she focuses on me, her lashes fluttering like the wings of a hummingbird. I reach over her and switch on her lamp. She squints in the half-light.
The girl,
she says, her eyes searching mine.
What is it? What girl?
I resist the urge to gather her in my arms and kiss away her nightmares. She blinks once more, and her voice is clearer, less fearful.
There was a girl outside SIP when I left this evening. She looked like me, but not really.
My scalp tingles. Leela. When was this? I ask, sitting upright.
When I left work this evening?
She's shaken.
Do you know who she is?
Yes. What the hell is Leela doing confronting Anna?
Who?
Anna asks. I should call Welch. During our update this morning, he had nothing to report on Leela's whereabouts. His team is still trying to find her.
Who?
Anna persists. Damn. I know she won't stop until she has some answers. Why the hell didn't she tell me earlier?